What song is it that makes you go, ah, Christmas is finally here? Anyone have a song in mind? Slade. Yes, yes. In our house, it's not Christmas until Michael Bublé sings. Until he sings, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. We play it every year. We're putting up the decorations, and that's the song. It's the start of his album, isn't it? It's not Christmas until we hear Michael sing. I've got three kids. My youngest is somewhere out there. And since November, since the beginning of November, he's been asking this question, is it Christmas yet? Is it Christmas tomorrow? I'm saying no. Is it Christmas the next day? That's what our kids are full of expectation. For many of us, we've grown with that nostalgia of Christmas ourselves. We've known that excited expectation ourselves. There's something magical, hopefully, about the memories that we have. Maybe if you're a parent, you've begun to realize, like I have, the work and the effort that my parents had to go through to make Christmas what it was for me as a child, for me and my sister. And for many of us, Christmas is, as Andy Williams sang, it's the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it? It's the most wonderful time of the year. That's the expectation for Christmas that we have. And yet, as we step into Christmas, as we step into that Christmas season, we know that those expectations are often not met. A friend of mine, he works for the police. He's going to be working over the Christmas holidays over in Liverpool. And he's been telling me stories of previous Christmases, of the family feuds, of the drunken brawls, of people thrown out of homes into the darkness of the night. And as I hear those stories, I am saddened to my core. And yet, how often that is the reality for so many at Christmas time. We read at the beginning from the book of Isaiah in the Bible, and it said this, the people who walked in darkness. In darkness is when we can't see. In darkness is when we don't know where we are going. We stumble in darkness. We fall over in darkness. There's chaos. There's brokenness. There's pain in the midst of darkness. In darkness, we feel scared. In darkness, we feel anxious. We walk in fight or flight mode. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light shined. Christmas is often the season when masses and masses of expectations are built up, but often what we uncover is brokenness, is pain, is the ongoing problems. We find ourselves walking in a land of deep darkness. But those few words, a light has shined, they speak to the reason that Christians across the world celebrate this time of year. A light has come into the world. A light has broken into the world for all to see. A few short verses later on, we saw more about that light. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. You see, in the midst of the darkness of the world, in the midst of the brokenness of the world, a light has shined. A light has been given to us in the form of a child. In the form of a son given to us by God, born of human parentage. In Isaiah 7, the first passage that we read, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. This light that shines, this child that is born, is to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He is with us in our darkness. He is with us in our chaos. We have this perfect wishful thinking and view of Christmas that poets way back in the last century sang about. I wish it could be Christmas every day. I wish it could be Christmas every day. Could you imagine? Could you imagine Christmas every day? Like, I'm a person that loves Christmas. I'm known for loving Christmas, but I cannot imagine how hard it would be, how exhausted we would be if it was Christmas every day. We have this belief that the chaos of life, the brokenness that we have in our 364 days of the year can be escaped for just a couple of days at Christmas. If we keep Christmas going in that perpetual Groundhog Day somehow everything will be all right. I wish it could be Christmas every day. But that's not the reality that we face. We step right into the problems because they don't disappear. The tensions that we have with loved ones, the financial stresses, the busyness of our jobs. We just come back to it after the holidays. The busyness of family life, the worries about illness, the sorrows and the grief. Some are no longer sitting around the dinner table. Some are no longer sitting on that chair, wherever it might be. And even if your Christmas is set up to be the most fun-filled adventure of all time with your family, often it is still filled with chaos and tension. Mega intense lists of things that need to be done for that Christmas turkey to be done just right, for those roasties to be perfect. Maybe you've got hyper-competitive family members, you're playing games, and they always end up in tears. Maybe people aren't happy with the present that you bought them this year. It just wasn't what they had hoped for. The problems, they don't disappear just because it's Christmas. In many ways, they're intensified. But for many of us, Christmas is all about light. Christmas is all about hope. We've got lights all around us. As we walk around the streets of the Wirral, we see colorful lights everywhere. And it's beautiful, isn't it? It brings a little bit of joy to us. It brings us a little bit of excitement. My kids, they love it. They love seeing houses with this year seems to be pink and purple lights around the streets. But the bigger and the brighter the lights are, the better it is. And it's almost as if the lights are in some way hiding the darkness. We can't see the darkness. We can't see the chaos anymore for the bright, colorful lights. And those expectations for Christmas that we have that are full of hope, we hope that we can just forget all about the chaos just for a few days. I wish it could be Christmas every day, just so as I can forget about it all. But we carry a misunderstanding, don't we? We carry a misunderstanding of what light and what hope is. We place our hope in the wrong kind of things. It's just wishful thinking. We misunderstand. Because the truest sense of light doesn't ignore, it doesn't hide the issues, it doesn't help you forget the issues that are going on. Light exposes them. Light steps in. Light helps you deal with the issues because it helps you to see everything clearly. And true hope stands in contrast to the hopeless situations that we find ourselves in. Rather than helping people forget about them, the true understanding of light and hope highlights the issues even more. It highlights the problems, it highlights the pain, and it doesn't ignore them. Christmas can feel chaotic. Why? Because it's broken. And we try to take control of Christmas. We try to manage it. We try to micromanage it in an attempt to escape from the chaos and the reality. And if the expectations that we have are unmet, it means that we'll be disappointed for another year yet again. But here's the good news of Christmas. Here's the good news from those first two readings that we read from Isaiah. The light is coming. Their hope is coming, which frees us from all of the discouragement, all of the regret, all of our own desires, all of our own hopes, and instead places it on someone and something that is much, much better. Isaiah 9, speaking to a people in complete darkness, a light has shined. A light has come, Isaiah 7, and that light is to be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. You see, his coming sheds light on reality, who he is and what he is promising. It stands in contrast. It stands in contrast to everything and everyone else. He sheds light because he is light. He sheds light because he is light. God stands in the midst of the chaos with us, in the midst of the darkness with us. And whenever we come to realize that, we come to understand why we sing the songs that we've been singing tonight. When it is all revealed to us when the hope that stands in contrast to the chaos is shown. The Emmanuel that would come, the great light, and the hope that we have will disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadow put to flight. And in the nation's favorite carol, O Holy Night, we catch a glimpse of the hope and the joy that this Emmanuel, this child, this light brings. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. That's the chaos. That's the darkness that we've been thinking about. In the midst of that darkness, he appears, and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. You see, God is with us in the chaos. God is with us in the darkness. But God is also with us in our loneliness. You see, Christmas brings light and hope into the loneliness that we experience. We may still experience loneliness in this Christmas. We may still experience it. Loved ones are missing. Work commitments mean that we can't travel to see friends and family. Illness overtakes us. Broken relationships that we experience within family. Age UK say that 2.3 million older people in the UK will be spending Christmas alone this year. That's heartbreaking. It's devastating. And it shows the pain in the world that we have. But there is a greater loneliness. There's a greater loneliness which has been caused by the brokenness of relationship between God and between man. And because of that brokenness, we experience that brokenness together, between each other. The great problem of loneliness is due to that separation from God. A relationship that has been broken because of our own initiatives, because of our own desires, is what the Bible calls sin. And the Bible describes it as though we've been treacherous, as though we've been adulterous, and we have become enemies. We've become at odds with God. But the good news of Christmas, the good news of the Bible, is that God gave his Son to step into our loneliness, to step into our isolation. Jesus has stepped in to that in order to heal that separation. God is with us, and he offers us a home. He offers us a family. He offers us a hope. Because not only has he stepped into our darkness, not only has he stepped into our brokenness, not only has he stepped into our chaos and our loneliness, not only is God with us, but God is also for us. We read in Isaiah, his name shall be Emmanuel, which means God is with us. But we also read in Luke's gospel that the angel said to Mary, you shall call his name Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation, meaning he will save his people. He will save the people from their sins, from their treachery, from their brokenness. So God is with us, and God is for us. And he is for us because he is the God that saves us. We strive to do all that we can to be good. We strive to do all that we can to be seen as good. We care what people think about us. But in reality, what we experience is that we can never be good, never be perfect enough. Deep down, even, we feel this. We feel this tension within our lives. We can never feel fully perfect. We feel inadequate. We feel unfulfilled. We feel unsatisfied. No matter how much we have, no matter what we do, we feel as though we are never good enough. But God is with us, and God is for us. If you remember nothing else tonight, remember this. God is with us, and God is for us. And let me just explain how God is for us. In one of the most famous and most well-known Bible verses in all of the Bible, it's found in John's Gospel. John says this, "For God so loved the world, he is so for us, that he gave his only Son." He gave Jesus Christ, his only Son, "that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And John continues, For God did not send his son, he didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. Who's ever thought of God as the one who comes to condemn the world? But he sent his son, it says, into the world in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. We are condemned already. Just as the world is broken, so too are we broken because of our sin, because of our treachery, because of our rebellion against God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Friends, we live in a world of darkness. But God so loved the world, he is so for us, that he gave his one and only Son. He gave his Son to be the light that shines into the darkness, in the light that actually saves us from the darkness. Jesus, the Son of God, he steps into our chaos, into our darkness, into our brokenness, and he gently and he lovingly exposes that darkness in our lives, showing us that we need saving. We need a rescuer, for we cannot save ourselves. And then he sacrificially saves us from the darkness by taking on that darkness himself. He gave his life, his perfect life, the great light, gave himself over to the darkness. In the greatest gift exchange the world has ever known, he gave himself so that we could have eternal life. Do you see that? He gave up his perfect life so that we can have eternal life. So that we would not perish, he perished. He died on a cross. You see, Christmas isn't just about the baby in the manger. It's not just about the stars, the angels, the shepherds, and wise men. As wonderful and as spectacular as the nativity story is, Christmas is about the beginning of the most amazing rescue mission that the world has ever known. God is so for us that he sent his Son who lived the perfect life that we couldn't live. And we want to hide. We want to hide in the darkness. We want to hide because we know that we're not perfect. Deep down, even if we think we're pretty good, we think we're good model citizens, we think we're good people, we still fear the light. We still fear our thoughts being exposed, our words being exposed, our actions being exposed. The things that we do in public, never mind the things that we do in secret. We would hate it. We would recoil in our seats if the movie of our lives came on the big screen for all to see. But God is so for us that he came and he died and he took on the judgment that we deserve by dying on the cross, by dying instead of us, by dying instead of you, instead of me. We think about that at Easter each year, don't we? But really, this is what Christmas is all about too. For God came into the world. He came to dwell with us because he is for us. And for those who believe in him, in who he is and what he has done on the cross for them, they have new life. The greatest gift ever. God didn't come to be with us because we are good. He came to be with us because he is good. Because he is Emmanuel, God with us. Because he is Jesus. Because the Lord saves. The people who invited you here tonight, they want you to know that. They want you to know that God is with you and that God is for you. And for those who come to believe in him, you can have eternal life. In the midst of your darkness, in the midst of the chaos that you experience, in the midst of the pain and the hurt and the problems that you face, the one true light, that is Jesus Christ. He came and he has offered you that greatest exchange of gift, that the world has ever known. He offers his life for you freely to have life to the full. And even whenever we experience the pain and the brokenness of sin, of our rebellion against him, even when we experience the chaos and the loneliness of the darkness, we can know that he has come into the world. We can know that the light has shone in the midst of the darkness, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, that he is Jesus. He saves us. And he has promised that he will return once again. And all that is broken, all that we still see that is broken in this world, all of the things that are in our own lives, he will make right. And he will wipe away every tear. And all you have to do is receive him. Receive him. Believe him. And step into the light of Christ. That is the light of Christmas. That is the hope of Christmas. That is the meaning and the joy of Christmas. We want to wish you all a happy Christmas this year. We want to wish you all a wonderful Christmas. And we would love for you to come to hear and then keep on coming to listen and find out more about Jesus with us. I would encourage you, if you have come with a friend today, and you don't know this Jesus as the light, as the true hope, as the God who is with you and the God who is for you, I would encourage you to keep asking your questions. Keep asking questions of the person who brought you along and join us. Join us every Sunday morning. We are here and we are making much of that Jesus. We are telling each other of that Jesus, reminding each other of who he is and what he has done. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for us now. And then we will come and we will sing together with great joy that famous song, Joy to the World. The Lord has come. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us your Son. We thank you that you sent your Son into the world that we might have life in his name. We thank you so much and that you have come because you're for us and you're with us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see who you are. I pray that you would help us in the midst of the darkness and the pain and the loneliness that we experience. Lord, if we don't know you, Lord, I pray that our eyes will be opened to the light, that we will not long to walk in darkness, but instead walk in the light, knowing the love and the joy and the hope of Christ. Lord, help us to see in our brokenness and to come to Jesus, to trust in him, to receive of him, and to give our lives to him. Help us this Christmas time to know the light, to know the hope, and to know the life that he brings. We pray this in his precious name. Amen.